hope everybody's super well. Super exciting moment, definitely for my mom. I will be on GMA, Good Morning America, on September 18th, Friday morning, answering questions about the opportunity going forward as we go into September, October, November, December, and into 2021. So if you've got any questions about your business, about executiveship, about anything that might be on your mind, please make a video and reply to this tweet with your question and use the hashtag GaryVEE on GMA. Super honored to be on the show and super excited to answer some of your questions on Twitter, from Twitter, excuse me, on Good Morning America, September 18th. I'm looking forward to it. Fire your questions away. Thank you.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Welcome to BGV Talks. I am Shelly Bell, your host, and today we're talking to Gary V, none other than Gary V. Like, everybody knows you. It's so good to see you, man. I haven't seen you since January. So how has everything been going on your end?
You know, 2020 came in hot. You know, it's you know, when we saw each other at CES, first of all, it's so great to be here. Second of all, I want to say publicly what I said when I jumped on. The yellow looks insane. You look great. Third of all, you know, thanks for the patience, because we were trying to get this together, and then COVID hit, and then Black Lives Matter and all that. It's just been crazy. But I'm grateful, you know, obviously a lot of things are challenging on the business front, but when you put that into the context of health and all the social injustice, it's an intense time, and I'm grateful for what I have and what's going on. And so I'm good, and I'm navigating, like a lot of people, really trying to think about how to do everything best for your family, for yourself, for the greater good of humanity, for your business, for your employees. It's been a year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so, you know, you speak a lot and you're such a great energy. I love it. I love watching you, listening to you. You have a lot of our audience that does as well. You could have chosen any path. Like, you could have, you know, got in, made your money, and decided to be an influencer and just go the speaker route. Why start an agency?
I like being a businessman, you know, like I never aspired to have people know who I was, right? I was 31 years old the first time I made a video about wine. I was 34 the first time I made a video about business. Business and wine people weren't famous. I didn't go to Hollywood when I was a kid. I never dreamed of being an actor or anything of that nature. So it's not in me to be Gary Vee, meaning I'm thrilled. Look, you have the benefit of what most people don't, which is you saw me at that cocktail hour at CES. I hope you saw what I know is my truth, which is I genuinely like people. And so the Gary Vee thing allows me to know a lot of people, which is cool. Like, I love that part. I don't love the part that people put me on a pedestal because I'm just one dude. I don't like the part of, like, sometimes being bothered if I'm with my kids because I don't get a lot of time with them. I don't like the fact that you always know that, like, everybody's watching everything. You know, there's no downtime. Yeah. But those are all so secondary compared to the admiration and the kindness that comes with knowing people. And so, you know, for me, I've only known how to do business. I enjoy the book writing. I enjoy the public speaking. I'm not going to lie. There's definitely times when VaynerMedia or other parts of my business life, Empathy, the K-Swiss collaboration, you know, Resy, when these things are so stressful that I say to myself, man, you know, like, literally, you know, you talk to yourself in the shower, like, man, stop trying to prove something. Like, just fucking fuck all this bullshit, sell sports cards and speak all, and you'll, like, and you'll moonwalk to a privileged financial life and probably a far less anxiety life. But the reality is everything's got its costs. And deeper than that, I just love running businesses. I like being an operator. I'm proud of the 1,000-person organization, the sheer size and scope of VaynerMedia. It's a real accomplishment. I'm proud of it.
It is, for sure. So on a day-to-day, how do you keep that energy up? Do you have a major workout routine? Do you, like, eat certain kinds of bars? Like, what, or do you sleep a lot? Like, that's another thing.
You know what's funny? I do sleep a lot more than people think. I sleep 6, 7, 8. You know, I'm not less than 6. I'm finished if I'm less than 6. I really do think it's my mental stability. To be honest, you know, we talk a lot about white privilege. We're starting to see people talk about athletic privilege. You know, when you're born 7 foot, that's a privilege.
That's right.
But I actually think the ultimate privilege is actually mental stability, like a calmness, a lack of anxiety. I, DNA-wise, and growing up with not a whole lot, and growing up with very incredible parents, especially my mom, really created simplicity. I, as long as I'm healthy and as long as the people I love are healthy, it's very easy for me to be good. And so I really think the reason I have so much energy is based on gratitude. I'm grateful.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's right. Today, I wasn't feeling so good last night. So I said, you know what, let me get outside. Let me just get some vitamin D right quick. Let me just take a walk. I think like the way to combat not feeling so good to me is just getting your body moving, whether you get up and dance and like just sounds grounding. Like sounds like you, yeah, just grounding yourself. So when you think about on your journey, turning your dad's wine store into the first like e-commerce platform, e-commerce space for a wine store. Well, especially right now, I think it could be super helpful for people who are going from like your brick and mortar to trying to figure out now what it looks like to social distance at 6 feet apart in a retail store. You know, like it's mind blowing that, you know, the way that people have to think about pivoting. So what do you think the impact of that was? Like how, what were your thought process along that journey of like figuring out that platform piece?
I live watching, you know, the reason I was right about sports cards going up, the reason I was right about Gunna and DaBaby and Meg Thee Stallion, the reason I was right about e-commerce back then, the reason I was right about TikTok, it's not because I'm so brilliant. It's not because I'm a genius, or, you know, which when people throw nice accolades, I'm flattered, but it's silly. What I do is I listen, which is weird because I talk a lot. I interrupt people when I talk. So it's I'm kind of hiding my listening part, but it's kind of like I'm listening every minute that you don't see me. And so in 1996, it was obvious to me that the internet was going to be big. It was not super complicated. I was like, this internet thing is not a fad. This is going to be like the way people do it. And so, oh shit, I need to build a store on it. Like that's who I was. I was a merchant. I was a selling kid. And so that's what we did. It worked because I'm good at it. It wasn't just having the idea. I had to execute it. And it really changed the course of my family's life in a lot of ways financially. And it allowed me to achieve what I wanted, which was to kind of give back to my family. You know, I left that business in my mid-30s with no ownership of the business, no exit, no nothing. You know, in a family business, you don't really pay yourself a lot of money. So I was only able to save so little. And that was great. That was fine. That was kind of like my journey and something I'm proud of. And I do it to this day. I'm watching every minute. I mean, it's even little things. Like, for example, can't cancel culture. I'm very worried that if we're going to cancel everybody for every little thing, then we can't cancel people for real things. You know, I'm watching that, right? Like when everyone jumps on Virgil or Karen Civil, the last people should be jumping, you know, you kind of start looking at it and like, not that nobody's perfect, but like, if we're going to really go there, like then I'm worried that when people are actually doing real bad stuff, that if it feels the same, you know, so I'm watching that. I'm like, is this, you know, the mass is jumping on people. I understand it, but like, is that going to work out? And I think like that. I think, what are the chess moves? I think about Kanye and Gap just announced something 5 minutes ago, you know, that 10-year deal. What does that mean? You know, I kind of saw, you know, it's why I did the K-Swiss thing, and I'm no fucking Kanye, but like we did it in our little way. Now I see Kanye doing it. I think you're going to see more of that. You know, there's just so much interesting shit going on out there. And I'm always listening. And I think that puts me in an opportunity of, and then I do it, right? I'm listening to teenagers. So I see Musical.ly's popping. So I'm on it, which makes me then realize that TikTok's going to be big. So I'm on it early. Then I'm on it for a while. Then I start talking about it way early by most people's standards. And then it hits. And then people think I'm a genius, but it already hit. It's just that I'd been there early.
Right.
I equate it to sports and music. Like the best high school football player right now is not really known, but if you're in the football business, you know who it is. And so if you're out there saying this kid's gonna be a star, and then 5-7 years later he's in the NFL, he's a star, of course you were in it. It's music. Like if you really follow music like that, like you knew DaBaby was a star. You know, but maybe you know 2 years before he's on, you know, SNL. And so it's what I've always done. It's what I did with Twitter and Facebook and all those investments. It already happened. I just did it 3 years before the masses understood it.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because I've said lately the same thing about the VC realm and this idea of like, why aren't they recruiting like an athletic recruiter would? Like, why aren't they looking at the people in the markets and how they're moving and the resilient business owners instead of whatever formula or pattern they're matching that
the problem is because the VC world is run by well-educated, individuals. And so there's a bias towards Harvard and Wharton in the same way that I made my investments not, like, I actually had to admit something yesterday that hurt where I was like, yo, I have unconscious, maybe even conscious bias towards really good students. I don't think Harvard, Henry, and Yale, Yana, and Stanford, Susan, and Stan are gonna be great entrepreneurs. And that's not fair, like in the same way that VCs are not investing in enough black women. Now, people tend to not cry for third generation wealthy Henry that went to Harvard. But look, I've met a lot of Henry Harvard, and it's kind of shitty to live a life that no matter what you do, everyone's going to be like, yeah, fuck you, your dad gave it to you. Right. And that's that anxiety. And then, of course, I always have the cliche person come up to me, like, when they hear me say something like that, like, yo, I'll switch with them because I ain't got shit. And I get that. Like, but like for me, I'm an underdog guy. I like the shit. I like the grind. That's me. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. Right. I'm not saying it's easier or better. I'm saying we collectively... And then there's a whole nother thing I'm sort of jump into this, which is I'm trying to teach people not to be excited about going after VC. I'm telling people learn how to make money, not raise money.
Oh my God, I'm right there with you. Because how to build a company, like do that. I mean, I was having a conversation with a woman early and I'm like, so entrepreneurs get upset when you say to them, like, you're too early. And it's like, oh, what do you mean? I'm passionate about my thing. Well, you don't, this is not a company yet. That you need to learn more lessons about what it means to actually run this as a model for a while. So 100%. I think like I'm super 100%. Hype about like, look, run a company, make money. Money gets more money. All right. And that's how that works. But with that, in terms of ads and the ad game, you talk about this a lot. Have you figured out in a formula for like how much goes in to potentially how much you can get out? In terms of like, let's say your product or service is really great, looks great, has really great elements. Have you figured out any types of things around that? I mean, just generally, doesn't...
Meaning if I spend $1,000 on Instagram, what do I get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
100%. It's called CAC, customer acquisition cost. And then you got to figure out the LTV, the lifetime value. So I got you, Shelly, to sign up for Wine Text. My dad's thing that I've been pushing like crazy, sign up if you like wine. And that cost me $49 when I look at my math because I went after 49 people for $1 each and you signed up. So that execution, that picture, that ad cost me $49 because only one of the 49 people at $1 a pop came in. Then I got to look at that group on if they bought four times and then the profit of those, it was $49 and that took 3 months. Now I know my payback period is 3 months. Got it? So yes, there's a lot of math to ads. If you're doing sales, if you're doing brand, which is what I spend most of my time on, I just don't want to sell it to anybody, anything. I just want you to know who I am, share my ideas, build that game. Then that you don't have a formula for. You're just looking at like, what's the consumption? That's more of a feel thing. Cause you don't want to go just on impressions cause somebody might think you suck, but you don't know. You got to read the comments. You got to look, but that's a little bit of a different kind of measurement on brand. You got to go with intuition, qual. You could look at impressions and think of that as a barometer, but usually the quality impression is not very obvious. And that's how I think about that.
I like it. Cause I think sometimes, one of the things that we're passionate about at Black Girl Ventures is micro granting. And so the way our competition works is in my mind, you can run ads. If I can get you $2,000, you can run ads. If I can get you a couple hundred dollars, you can run ads. And it is like, it's free and clear. Take the capital, find a way to get you some more attention, get you some more customers, that kind of thing. What kind of advice would you give someone who's doing this by themselves or like a solopreneur or someone with a very, very small team that's trying to create the maximum amount of value Do you have certain ways that you lay out your time, that you like map out things to make them work?
I think it's self-awareness and happiness. You need to know who you are. Like, if you're not good at math, you may not be the person to run the ads. If you also need to know what you love. Like, if you know you love talking to people, well then create Zooms all day and throw 20 people in it and just jam. So I think you have to be self-aware and look for happiness, because happiness leads to energy. You know, back to your earlier question, gratitude. I'm happy. That's why I'm nice to people. You know, like, who do you think's not nice to people? Unhappy people, you know? And so I'm happy. And I think it's because I try to put myself in a position to be happy. And I think that's what people need to look for, which is, you know, what do you need to do to be happy? And so I think it's very important for people to know who they are instead of who they wish they were. Got it? Like, a lot of people are like, I'm a CEO. Are you? Just because it's fresh and popping now? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a COO, maybe you're a number two, maybe you're a three, and you would have made so much more money and been so much happier. Listen, number three to Mark Zuckerberg, number three, you know, to Sarah Blakely, number three to, you know, me, that's good.
Right.
You know, and so I think we need to stop putting entrepreneurship on a pedestal, because it's not for everyone.
It's not. And I tell people all the time, you're not the hashtag boss. I don't care for that. Because until you're responsible for someone's livelihood, then you have no idea what it feels like to be in this boss position, where somebody got to eat because of you, somebody's children getting fed because of you. That is not something we are here like, yeah, hashtag boss. No.
Listen, every hashtag is concerning. We live in a world now where everyone's a keyboard warrior. You know, everyone's got plenty of things to say about themselves or others. And yet what's happening behind the keyboard oftentimes is missing the mark. And so, you know, listen, I don't mind people pumping themselves up, and boss can be a mindset. Entrepreneurship can be a mindset. So I have empathy for the context, but to your point, what I think the point you're making that is very powerful is like, look, don't front for others, you know, motivate yourself. And I think a lot of the boss talk, a lot of the cash in the ear, a lot of the like, you made a little come up and you go buy a Gucci belt. It's really to position yourself to others. And I think that's a vulnerability. And I don't want people keeping up with the Joneses, because I think the Joneses in that scenario enable a vulnerability of unhappiness.
Yeah, 100%. Well, one more question.
Please.
What kind of advice would you give a coach right now? So the coach realm is popping too. Like, it's this like, you know, buy my $14.97 package, my $9.97. Yeah. And I've been a little hesitant to go into it, even though I know my brand is bigger and completely different. It just all seems a little bit false sometimes. So I'm trying to figure out, navigate who's the best coach, who's a real coach, who has the right thing to go where. But if there is someone who's really genuine and looking to expand their business, what kind of advice would you give someone in that coaching realm?
You know, I think you have to do your job. I think Billy does a good job. I think a lot of people do a good job. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, you got to find the right coach for you. I think you need to go, listen, coaching's tricky, right? I try to do coaching for free with all my stuff, but I can't be super detailed. Mm-hmm. Others can really bring value. It's just an ROI game. It's no different than college. It's no different than anything. There's a lot of great free information. I always say that. But coaches, you know, a lot of coaches coaches that teach people to be coaches is always a very interesting game. You know, I think there's a lot of vulnerability in that. There are plenty of good men and women in it, but I do think that tends to be a scary place. I think there's a lot of ways to do it. I think reaching out to people that liked and disliked the coach, like going to Twitter and searching, and then reaching out to 10 people and just getting on a call and really hearing it, I think can really help. Doing your homework.
Yeah, 100%. Well, I know you don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm so glad you could stop by and just kick it with me for a minute.
Let me say a couple more things to bring, let me give some value.
Yeah.
LinkedIn organic. For a lot of people that are listening, start posting on LinkedIn. The organic reach is real, and it's a real opportunity. So that's number one. And video, learn Google how to strip the audio out of your videos so you can have a podcast even though you're doing videos. Those are two hacks that I think a lot of people in this audience would really get value out of. Stripping audio, doing videos, lives, different things, but then stripping the audio and making that your podcast. And then you just Google, how do I do a podcast? It will teach you everything. Google is free and it will teach you. And so those two things stand out.
So anything that you got working on, things we should go buy, things we should sign up for?
No. Gary, me on all social, check me out. Hopefully I can bring you some value. I this is weird, but I would get educated about sports cards. They're going up, up, up. You know, if you're into that collectible stuff, there's a that market is hot and has been hot. As for me, just no. I just want everybody to get theirs.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Take care. Stay well. Right, bye-bye. All right. Episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Much Love by Hunter Vickers. Love the podcast. Love you, Gary. Keep going. Thanks to Hunter Vickers. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.